Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
Welcome to All Bodies on Bikes, the podcast, where all bodies are good bodies, all bikes are good bikes, and all rides should be celebrated.
All Bodies on Bikes is a movement to create and foster a size-inclusive bike community. So join your hosts. I'm Maggie.
And I'm Marley.
As we explore the complexities of the biking world, help us break down barriers and create the world that we want to see. And don't forget that All Bodies really means all bodies, not just larger bodies, but bodies of all sizes, ages, races, abilities, genders, sexualities, and beyond.
Come along for the ride.
Hey, Maggie, how's it going?
Oh my gosh, Marley, it's going so much right now.
It is, because I told you we weren't going to do this at the beginning of the episode. I was like, I'm just going to go straight into the intro. And then I tried and it sounded really stupid. So I needed to say hi first.
To be fair, as an outsider, it did not sound stupid, but I like the fact that you started over because you didn't like the way that sounded. So
yeah, and
it's great.
When we run the podcast, we get to do that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, today's episode is, I think it'll be a bit of a personal one. It's just Maggie and I hanging out today, shooting the breeze. But we're going to be talking about mental health as it relates to cycling, and some, like misconceptions and or stereotypes, that people in bigger bodies encounter, when trying to, you know, go for a bike ride or, things related to cycling and how that can also impact somebody's experience. And so that'll be the second half of the show, but the first half of the show, we're really going to talk about mental health. So, you know, I've been pretty forthcoming about this on social media and in my blogging that I've like long used cycling as like a tool in my mental health toolbox, which sounds so cliche, but honestly, like I legit have like a number of tools that I use, including psychiatric medication, including meditation, including all sorts of stuff. But riding my bike is a very, very big part of my mental health toolbox. And as I have been more public about it and talking about it on social media, it turns out I'm not alone. Maggie and I were actually talking about this earlier in the week. And I decided for this episode, like, what if I tried researching something?
What?
I know,
what,
right?
What is researching? What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, it turns out it gets you into a really big rabbit hole. And so I didn't research for that long, but I did find out that like our anecdotal experience is supported by like a ton of scientific studies that have come to a similar conclusion. And I'm going to be totally honest here. I was kind of lazy with my research because there were so many studies and I found myself like deep in doctoral theses, you know, reading abstracts and reading citations. I was like, nobody cares that much. Just find one. But the one that I found really focused on cycling for transportation. And so the main finding of this study was that cycling for transportation, in addition to physical benefits, because the main finding of the study was all about physical health benefits to cycling from cycling from transportation. But they found that cycling for transportation may also have important mental health benefits. Some studies have demonstrated a decrease in depression symptoms, while others have demonstrated an overall increase in emotional well-being and happiness. And that was from a study called Active Commuting and Depression Symptoms in Adults, a systematic review. And we'll put the link to that research paper in the show notes in case you want to dive into it. But like I said, I didn't go far enough to find if there has been associated research around like recreational cycling or cycling for sport. But I think it's safe to say that like, if you're riding your bike for commuting and you're getting mental health benefits, you're probably, if you're doing it recreationally, you're probably also getting mental health benefits.
Yeah. I mean, if you're doing it recreationally, you're doing it because you already enjoy it. Maybe yes. Even a little over for commuting. So it has to just add to how it adds to your life if it's just for fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I don't commute by bike anymore because I work from home, but I used to commute my bike in Seattle. And on the days when I would actually like motivate myself to get up and pack my clothes and do the things I needed to do. And then once I actually got on the bike, I never regretted it. Even when it was freezing cold or wet or windy, I always felt so much better.
Yeah.
And I know you started bike commuting recently, right?
I did. Yeah. So I started in September of last year and have just recently been putting together. I've had a horrendous start to 2024 in multiple ways. But one of the ways is I have been in, at least in my humble opinion, more emotionally unstable than ever before in my life. And just really putting together recently that I rode my e-bike enough to just completely shoot the brakes out.
Oh.
So I've been having just the worst time this last month. And
you know, brakes are fixable pretty easily, right?
They are, aren't they? but I'd been commuting to work and anywhere else I needed to go since last September. And I haven't been on a bicycle since February 29th.
Mm.
And just really putting that together recently. And yeah, there's a just a giant correlation there.
Yeah, it's I will get into those funky spaces too, where I'm like, oh, okay. It almost becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yep. Where it's like, oh, I feel depressed. Oh, my couch is calling my name very strongly. And honestly, whenever anybody calls my name with intent, I'm like, okay, let's go.
Let's go. Yeah.
Why is my face so, you guys can't see this because it's a podcast, but I'm like beet red right now. I don't know what's happening. Anyway.
I don't know what's happening either. My shirt's beet red, but I know why that is. It's because somebody made this shirt red.
Right, right. But my face looks like I got sunburnt, and I did not get sunburnt that I'm aware of. Anyway, not the point. Self-fulfilling prophecies of being depressed, and then it's hard to motivate yourself to get outside. But then whenever I do it, I'm always like, oh, I feel, even just the other day, you know, I took my e-mountain bike out. I live in Bentonville, and it's really, I've been public about my challenges living here. But every time I get out and ride, I'm always like, this place is the best. It's magical. It really is like Disneyland. But it's really easy to forget that when you don't take advantage of the trails. And so the other day I was like, no, I'm taking my e-bike out and I'm just going to ride for an hour. And when I tell you that I felt so much better, like even 5 minutes into the ride. And then I rode for probably an hour and a half. I was like, I was on the moon. I was so dang happy.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it doesn't always happen that way. It's not usually like a huge mood lift. It's usually like, I don't know, on a scale of 1 to 10, if I go from like a 3 to a 5.
Yeah.
But man, on say Thursday, Tuesday, I went from like a 1 to probably an 11.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be the bipolar coming out a little bit. but at least, honestly, now I have an explanation for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah.
And see, I personally, I'm almost always like a 1 to a 10 if I go outside, but still for some reason just can't bring myself to do it. I'm like, I'm sad. I'm going to stay inside. I deserve that. The entire time my brain's like, okay, but wait. But if we go do the thing, then we'll deserve more stuff because we'll be so happy with what's happening that we'll already have what we want and what we think we deserve. So can we please go play outside?
Honestly, whenever I get to that point where I'm like, okay, I just need to go play outside, I will drop what I'm doing if I can, you know, if I'm on calls or meetings and I don't have that option. But if I like get the inkling that it is time to go outside, I try and listen to that and go, because I don't often, well, that's not true. I get that feeling a lot, but especially when I'm struggling in like my down phases, I just got to tune into that and say, yes, here we go.
So. Yep. My mom has taken to, if I call her and I'm having a really terrible day, she'll like listen very intently and respectfully, and then she'll get really quiet and she'll just go, Maggie, go outside.
I love that.
I'm like, okay.
Can I call your mom and ask for the same thing?
I am confident she would be absolutely fine with that.
Yeah. I actually put a reel up the other day, much to that effect, of like, hey, followers, like, I'm pretty darn transparent on, especially my stories, with where I'm at that day, whether I'm up or down or sad or angry or whatever's going on. And I just put up a reel that was like, hey guys, next time if I seem consistently down, will somebody just remind me to go ride my bike? And I'm dead serious about that. Like, yes, I will probably get annoyed when 20 followers are like, hey Marla, you seem down, go ride a bike. However, like, I need that external motivation in my life.
Yeah.
Especially because, and I think we're going to talk about this here in just a couple minutes, like, I am not riding my bike to lose weight. I'm not riding my bike for a certain fitness goal. Right. You know, I'm not on any sort of structured training plan. And it seems to be working for me. I just try and ride consistently enough that when I go and do 60, 70, 80 miles, I feel good. You know, I don't have time goals in mind. That's just not the way I ride my bike. But that also means that I don't have any external accountability. So.
Yeah,
it's I don't know. It's kind of a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
I've never had, have you ever done a sport or anything where you had like a coach or external accountability that like forced you to exercise?
No. I am training for an event this September that technically should have that, but I'm... Wait,
by event this September, you mean when you're riding from Maine to Georgia?
Yeah. It's just a little thing. Just the little thing for the entire, just the little ride I'm doing the entire month of September.
How's fundraising going on that? Flow?
It's like a little slow, but I've already made some really cool connections through the episode that we've talked about this. Found some places to stay. So that's a whole separate side of cycling for mental health, is the people that you meet when you're out there. Or even when you're just talking about it, because I haven't gotten out there yet.
Man, I just had a warm showers guest last night.
Cool.
Yeah, we don't get a lot of bike tourists through Bentonville. It's just not really on any routes. I mean, it's on like the Arkansas High Country route, but it's just not a big bike touring hotspot. Yeah. And I got a message on warm showers and he said, I'm coming to town. Can I stay? And I was like a little hesitant, and then I was like, yeah, it's spring break. Like, there's no campgrounds that are open. He left this morning to go continue on his way. But he was really cool.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And just the gumption he's biking from San Diego to Wisconsin, and he started in January. Okay. I was like, why did you choose the middle of winter to go bikepacking across the country? And he didn't really have a good answer.
All right.
Yeah.
That feels like one of those things that cyclists do where we don't have a good answer, but we're doing the thing. Yeah. Gosh darn it.
Can I give you unsolicited advice about training for your ride?
I would love that.
Just consistency. Just get out there and just spend time in the saddle. Enough time to make sure your bike is really comfortable, because I mean, there's no way to train your body for what you're about to do. You know, spending 8 to 12 hours on the bike every day. But your legs are going to come so quickly, you know, your first 3 or 4 days are going to be hard. And then you're going to be like, oh, this is my life now. And I love it.
Yep.
And so, I would just make sure, you know, you got to get a good bike fit and everything feels good.
Absolutely.
You're going to be set. So
it's going to be great.
Yeah. Don't beat yourself up about training.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that question was just, I was thinking about it. Like, have I ever had external accountability? And like, I used to do CrossFit. But even that wasn't necessarily, you know, while you're in the class, of course. But there was never like, oh, I have to go a certain number of days per week. I'm always looking for a deal. And this is related, I promise. But CrossFit, especially in Seattle, was fairly expensive. But I made a deal with them that I would clean the gym in exchange for membership.
Okay,
and that was
I like that.
So awesome. I loved it. But that also meant that I had an unlimited membership. And so I also didn't have like the financial I don't know, motivation, because it's like, oh, I clean the gym and I would normally get a workout in. So I was always going at least once a week. But yeah, how did we get on this topic? I don't know.
I don't remember either. But
well, Maggie, you haven't been on a bike since February 29th.
No, I have not.
It's not that long.
Today I got on a bike.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. I was going to ask you, do you have a plan to get back on? Did it feel good to get back on?
It felt so good. Because it's like freaking 65 degrees here and the sun shining and blue sky. And I can't. And it was on my e-bike. So especially, I just can't be too preoccupied with sad things when it's a beautiful day. And I'm like belting 20 miles an hour down the greenway.
Exactly. Exactly. It's something I think about kind of often. It's like you don't see sad people on bikes. Yeah. Although I've definitely cried on a bike before.
I have too, but it's like, it's different because I'm sad about something, but I'm either pretty quickly able to focus on biking instead of the thing, or I'm so in the zone of what I'm doing that I can work through the thing better.
Yeah.
And so it is so very not the same as being sad literally anywhere else.
It's so true. Yeah. I've done a lot of grieving on my bike, actually.
Yeah.
Because I have a really amazing ability to shut off my feelings. And I feel like the only time I can ever actually get into those feelings is on the bike.
Yeah.
And so my dad died, I guess it'll be 3 years this summer. Mm. And that's really the only place I've been able to grieve. Because I feel like I just get into the zone. My body's working hard. I'm like a well-tuned machine. And then my brain can finally let those walls down to think about those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a really good friend of mine, her name is Katie. And Katie and I don't remember how this started, but we referred to them as demon rides. And I've actually made a playlist that, like, musically, it makes you think about the things that are harder and then lifts you up towards the end. But the whole idea of a demon ride is to get out. And these are some of the times that I ride my hardest.
Okay.
Because, like, the whole point of them is just whatever's been on you for however long it's been on you, you get on your bike and you just kind of look over your shoulder and you're like, dude, catch me if you can.
I love that.
And you
do
just
have any playlists you'd be willing to share?
Oh, absolutely.
Demon playlist. Maybe we can add some playlist to the show notes. I really need some new music to listen to. Like my Spotify is so boring right now. So I will take any podcast, any playlist recommendations. So
heck yeah.
And demon playlist sounds great.
Demon rod playlist. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, maybe I shouldn't talk about this, but I'm going to, I've gotten really into eating edibles on rides. And I don't know if that, well, I do know it helps my mood immensely. And I wouldn't say I'm reliant on it. I ride probably 90% of the time, not with any chemical enhancers.
Right.
and I will say I have a medical card. It's medically legal in Arkansas. I think pot should be decriminalized everywhere. And that is my soapbox that I will stand on.
Right.
I don't know if I'm supposed to be riding a bike under the influence. Probably not, but I never get so stoned that I like lose control, or it's honestly more of a way for me to focus than anything.
Yeah. Well, and I think we, as part of the team for Steamboat in 2022,
Yeah. Yeah. Part of our OG Steamboat crew.
Yeah. But we got some stuff from Floyd's of Leadville. And my thing with them, and I know you work with Twisted Spoke now and some of these other people.
Can we talk about Twisted Spoke instead?
I was moving there as fast as I could. But like the thing with any of those is, again, if you want to go crown your bike, go crown your bike. It feels great. But if you want to forget about whatever it is that's weighing you down when you're not on your bike, doing CBD or an edible or something before your ride just makes it that much easier to get focused on, I'm riding this bike down this road. I need to keep moving my legs or the bike will fall down. I'm having a good time. What are we doing next? And again, sometimes I enjoy crying on my bike as much as anybody, but sometimes it's nice to just be moving and not focused on whatever it is that has you down.
100%. I think that's why I like gravel so much and why I'm learning to like mountain biking is because it does take mental focus mm-hmm. of like, where's my line? You know, what rock is trying to kill me today?
yep. Yeah. Mountain biking, so. You can't think too much about what's going on outside of the trail because you have to pay attention to what you're doing.
Yeah. Oh my God. Especially right now. Holy cow. It is spring break. I think it's Wisconsin's spring break right now. Okay. I've learned that different parts of the United States take spring break at different times, which makes sense. But Bentonville is like a hot spot for spring breakers.
Okay.
And so we're makes on like sense. Week three right now of very intense spring break. And it's really cute. So many families out riding. I just wrote a blog post for Visit Bentonville about like biking 101 in Bentonville. What do you need to know based on just the things I was observing, you know, people not knowing if they could ride on the sidewalk, people not knowing where was safe to ride, you know, the rules of the road, just all sorts of things. So it's second nature for you and me because we ride bikes all the darn time. But for folks who are coming here on vacation to ride bikes, there's some skills that would be helpful. So, well, should we move on to the second part of the show? Anything else we want to say about mental health?
If you're on a bike or off a bike and struggling with it right now, you are not alone.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
And that's, mildly comforting, but it is a truth to have. Like, it makes me feel 2% less crazy when I hear somebody else be like, I'm having a really hard time right now. I'm like, oh my God, it's not just me. Okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't ease any of the tension, but I do feel, again, 2% less crazy.
When I went public with my bipolar diagnosis, I was really scared. You know, my sponsor is going to keep me on? Like, what's going to happen? And nothing has changed, thankfully, except an outpouring of support. And from people who, you know, I had no idea had mental health struggles. I probably had 20 people tell me they are also bipolar. It's wildly common, which I didn't realize. And so that's been really heartening. But at the same time, like, you know, people are always like, well, let me know if you want to talk. Like, no, I don't want to talk. I want you to come over and help me do my laundry. I want you to help me be a person. Because when I get into my low lows,
oof.
It's really hard to be a human. And as a single person who has a dog, like there's things that just have to happen.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I hate let me know if you want to talk. Like, I don't want to talk about anything. It's the chemicals in my brain that are messed up. Like,
right.
I just want help existing, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
So anyway, but yeah, you're not alone. If you are in an emergency situation, National Suicide Hotline is 988. You can text, you can call. I actually have used it before when I was just in a real moment of crisis, and it was incredible. Highly, highly recommended if you are in a moment of crisis because the feelings will pass. You are not alone. And even if it only makes you feel 2% marginally better to know that other folks are also struggling, there are a lot of folks who care about you. Even if they have no idea what you're going through or why things are happening, you're not alone.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's and what
we're glad you're here.
Yeah, we are. I'm glad you're here, Maggie.
I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Well, we've kind of talked about like the benefits of cycling for mental health, and
yes,
Maggie and I are both huge proponents of that. But as folks who live in bigger bodies, there are some very real barriers to just getting on a bike and riding.
Yeah.
You know, I recently had a reel go viral on Instagram, and it was like, there were fat cyclists. Of course we're huffing and puffing up a hill. And kind of, you know, calling in those stereotypes that are actually true. But it totally hit a nerve. I think like 2,000 comments or something of folks also, you know, saying, you know, of course I'm a fat cyclist, or I'm a fat cyclist. Of course folks assume I'm a beginner, or of course folks assume I'm riding my bike to lose weight. And I realized that there are a lot of misconceptions and a lot of stereotypes that people in bigger bodies deal with. And I just kind of wanted to talk about those a little bit because I think they're very common. And I think, you know, we have a lot of folks who listen to this show who don't live in bigger bodies. And I think it's a really great opportunity for some allyship. And also just commiseration for our other bodacious babes who have to deal with this. So
Bodacious Babes. That's the name of my punk rock band.
Bodacious Babes.
Yep. Coming soon to a theater near you.
Ooh. I was gonna say like Bodacious Babes rocking, like BBR. I was trying to think of a play on like BBW, but
okay.
Do you know what BBW is?
I do not.
It's like God, how did I get down this rabbit hole? So it's often used in online dating and like Craigslist for like big beautiful women, and it's often for men who have a fetish for bigger bodied women.
All right.
So
there we go.
Today's episode is all over the place. Wow. You're welcome, dear listeners.
Yes. Our gift to you.
Yes. But I, you know, coming on the heels of that reel, I have a monthly column now with Cycling Weekly, and it's an opinion-based column, which is kind of cool. I just get to write whatever I want to.
Heck yeah.
But I realized that this was an opportunity to reach a mainstream audience to talk about the misconceptions and why they're harmful to people in bigger bodies. And so I put a story up on Instagram, you know how you can do like the questions or whatever.
Right.
And I just asked, hey, for my fat fellow cyclists, this one's for you. And I said, you know, what are some common misconceptions that you get around cycling? And I got like over 100 responses. It was honestly really overwhelming.
Yeah.
They all kind of fell into like a couple buckets. And I would love to dive into some of these with you.
Yeah.
That works for you. Okay. So the first one that came up probably more than half the time is that people assume that bigger bodied people are beginners. You know, that we are brand new to cycling.
Sure.
That we have no experience. Have you ever had that happen to you?
I don't think so.
Nice. That makes me happy.
I don't think I've had that one. Yeah.
I haven't gotten it in a long time now that I'm like a known entity and I walk into bike shops and they're like, what are you doing here?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I used to get it pretty often. You know, they don't even, I used to work in a bike shop and I might potentially be working in a bike shop again, which it story Fancy. For another day. Yeah. Cause I don't have enough irons in the fire.
Of course. Yes.
But you know, we were always trained to treat everybody the same and, you know, ask like, hey, what brings you in today? Or what can I help you out with? But oftentimes I would hear my coworkers say it to people of like, oh, hey, welcome in. Let's take a look at the hybrids or let's take a look at the cruisers, without even asking the customer what brought them into the store.
Yeah.
You know, I think it also happens at races and events. You know, people assume that, oh, you're bigger bodied. Like, is this your first event? I had somebody on the remarks say, oh, are you the bus driver? Because he does Ragbri every year. And his team like takes a bus. And I was like, actually, that's kind of a valid question. But you should be asking that of everybody, not just the bigger body people.
Yes. Yeah.
But.
Jeez.
Yeah. Okay. So next misconception, that we are incapable or uninterested in technical, challenging, or longer distance rides. So that like, we're only really interested in the easy stuff.
Yeah.
Have you encountered that?
I feel like, I'm not sure that I have encountered that one as much either.
Yeah, that's fair.
I do think I have a little bit of just unawareness when it comes to showing up to events. So like, I think the first event that I ever did, which has proven I did it two more times, I think, after that, but has proven to not be very inclusive at all. I think probably if I had been paying closer attention, I would have picked up on this one specifically, just because there are a bunch of like bro dudes that go do that ride and who can be fine. This group, not so much. I have realized in retrospect. But if I'd been paying closer attention to what was going on, I'm confident that people there would have been like, who'd you come to cheer for?
Yeah.
But luckily, I just was not aware.
And sometimes there's bliss in that ignorance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of just like not even acknowledging their stupid questions or their assumptions. So
I'm about to have a fun day in the mountains on a bike. So I'm just thinking about that.
Yeah.
Why are you looking at me out of the corner of your eye? Stop it.
I mean, I have definitely gotten this quite a bit, especially on bikepacking trips, you know, from a lot of non-cyclists. You know, you talk to people in grocery stores and or at gas stations where you're resupplying and you tell them what you're doing and they are just flabbergasted.
Yeah.
And, you know, it might be the case that they would be flabbergasted to hear that response from anybody. But, you know, they hear like, oh, I'm riding across Oregon or I'm riding X amount of miles. It's like, whoa, you're capable of doing that? It's like, yeah, I am. Like, why are you doubting me? So that one's frustrating. And I know it happens really frequently in like the mountain bike community. A couple of like other pros actually reached out and said, you know, like people don't think that I'm capable of hitting jumps or going fast or doing technical descents.
Yeah.
And it's like body size has absolutely nothing to do with skill on a bike ride.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, like, yes, there is like a very real power to weight ratio thing. And so we will never be as fast as Wout Van Aert or Tom Pidcock or like the Tour de France riders.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we don't have technical skill and we don't have climbing prowess and we don't have, other abilities. So,
yeah.
Okay. Another really, really, really common misconception was that people assuming that we are riding bikes to lose weight.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And I hate this one. I get this one pretty darn frequently. And I just hate the fact that other people are thinking about my weight. Like I don't often think about my weight. But I think other people think about it a lot more than I do.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's so harmful. Because like if I see a standard bodied person, I don't assume they're riding their bike for exercise or to lose weight. I think like, oh, they like riding bikes. And why can't people just think the same thing about us?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Also just like, it's none of their business at all. Why we're riding bikes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know I've had one experience where it was coming from a place of just like conversation, but it's like, ask a better question.
Yeah.
Which I think comes up a lot in life. But like if you just found out somebody rides bikes and they're bigger bodied or they're not bigger bodied, why would that be your immediate next point of conversation? Like my next point of conversation is going to be like, oh, what kind of bike do you ride? What's your favorite ride you've ever done? What's the coolest thing you've ever seen while you were out on your bike? I don't know why that is the just standard immediate follow-up.
Yeah. Also, why is it any other damn business?
Yeah, that's a big question.
that's my big thing. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like there's, and, you know, Aubrey Gordon and lots of other fat activists have talked about this, but like the fat body is just like open for public comment where nobody else's body is up for comment like that.
Yeah.
I mean, celebrities are often subject to similar discourse, but it's really frustrating. Really frustrating.
It is.
I mean, I've even had doctors, you know, I don't know if it says in my chart somewhere that I'm a cyclist or what the deal is, or if I just talk about it enough that all my doctors know that I'm a cyclist, that I ride bikes. But I've even had doctors say like, you know, how much are you riding? Are you trying to, you know, lose weight? You know, that sort of thing. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And it's very, very frustrating.
Yeah. And I don't get cycling doesn't come up so much. So I haven't ever had the experience of a doctor being like, are you riding to lose weight or, you know, keep riding and you'll lose weight. My favorite thing I think that's ever happened, and I use that exceptionally sarcastically, is my first bikepacking trip. I don't have the thing in your brain that makes you go, hey, this seems really hard if this is the first time we're doing this thing. My first bikepacking trip, we did 315 miles in 4.5 days, and I had a doctor's appointment.
That's absurd.
It was so stupid. It was amazing. It was so stupid. But I had a doctor's appointment the next week, and I had somehow actually gained 2 pounds and just like was berated for that the entire doctor's appointment, and just didn't have the gumption at that point. I was like, I'm too tired from literally cycling 300 miles over the weekend to fight you on this right now.
Yeah, seriously. Dang. Oh, it just makes me so angry. It makes me so angry. Okay, well, this very last misconception actually made me laugh quite a bit. And okay, there's a million other misconceptions. You know, like I said, I got over 100 responses. And so if folks have strong feelings, I encourage you. I just found a flashlight on my pen.
On your pen. Okay, that's pen. Exciting.
Anyway, write into us. Let us know. Podcast at allbodiesonbikes.com. But this last one really made me laugh. Is that because we have big butts that all saddles are comfortable.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And I can honestly kind of see where this one comes from, especially if you're somebody who doesn't ride bikes very often.
Right.
Because I think a lot of folks don't know that, like, on your bike saddle, like, the weight is supposed to be on your sit bones, like the hard bones that are in there, and not on the soft tissue. But I get questions all the time from folks about, like, what wide saddle do you recommend? I've got a really big butt. And it can be really counterintuitive to say, like, actually, the size of your butt doesn't impact anything. It's the width of your sit bones.
Yeah.
And so I kind of get it, but it did make me laugh a little bit.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's one of those where you just want to be like, oh, honey.
Exactly. Like, oh, that's cute.
You're not allowed to talk to other people.
Well, I think that's all I have. But before we go, I did want to do kind of a rundown of upcoming events.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Does that sound good to you? I think I'm going to try and make this part of the regular podcast.
That sounds great.
Okay. And so for folks, if you're listening, you know, June, July, maybe you just became a fan and this is an old episode for you. You can always find out about what's going on with All Bodies on Bikes at allbodiesonbikes.com/events. For folks that don't know, we are a 501c3 nonprofit. We have 13 chapters across the United States who are running all sorts of fun events and seminars and bike packing trips and really cool stuff. So I'm just going to go through a couple of things that are coming up that folks can get involved with. So the first is we are presenting our strategic plan to the public. So we officially got incorporated as a nonprofit last May, and Woo! We've been using the last, I don't know, 10 months to work on the strategic plan, and we are now ready to share it with the public. Nice. So that'll be on Wednesday, April 3rd at 7 p.m. online. Again, if you go to allbodiesonbikes.com/events, you can RSVP there and you'll get the Zoom link. After that, almost a month later, actually that's not entirely true. The day before that, we've got a bike ride in Northwest Arkansas in Bentonville. They're going to do a sunset cruise. It'll be about 8 miles. In May, we've got a couple fun things happening. So the TD Five Borough Bike Tour is happening. And so, we had Alicia McCauley from Bike New York on a couple episodes back. And this is the largest charity ride in one day. So they get almost 33,000 cyclists. They shut down 40 miles of road in New York City and they do a bike ride. And so and I are going out to New York for that. And so on Saturday, May 4th, may the 4th be with you. we're going to do a ride, like a social ride and meetup at the Soho REI. And then on Sunday, we will be riding together in the TD Five Borough Tour. And so if you're looking for folks to ride with on that, join our team. We've got details on that on the website. Our Kansas City chapter is doing a big bikepacking trip. That one sold out, but a bunch of our other chapters are gearing up for Swift Camp Out. And so there's a big nationwide, actually global, bike camping trip that happens over Solstice weekend. And so look for more info to come soon. I believe Western Massachusetts, Denver, I think Northwest Arkansas, Chicago, a bunch of people are going to be doing bike camping trips. So that should be really fun. At the end of June, we are hosting a gear garage at Grounded Nebraska. So we've talked about Grounded Nebraska and we had them on the show a while ago now. But All Bodies on Bikes is going to host a gear swap at the event this year. So nice. Folks can bring gently used stuff that they no longer need or want and hopefully get that to good homes because outdoor gear can be very expensive.
Yes.
And then just the last one to talk about, we've got so many events coming up this summer, but one that I do want to get on people's radar is in August in Oregon. It's put on by Cycle Oregon and it's called Joyride. And it's an event for women, trans, femme, and non-binary folks. It'll be 2 days of riding. We will be recording a live podcast at Joyride, and then leading some All Bodies on Bikes rides. And I will also have a scholarship for two folks to attend. More details coming soon about that. But lots and lots of stuff in the works. And we would love for you to get involved. You know, we've got other talks happening across the country. And yeah, just go to allbodiesonbikes.com/events.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, merch. Have you seen the All Bodies on Bikes kits?
I have seen them. Oh my God, amazing.
They're so cool. And now that Mid-South is over, I've actually ridden in it. And I will say that, like, for one of the first times, the jersey and the vest didn't ride up. Like, the silicone gripper around the waistband is superb. And amazing. Everything stayed in place, which I think is what's supposed to happen when clothing fits you appropriately.
What?
I know. What a concept.
Crazy.
Crazy. And then, of course, Cleverhood, supporter of the podcast. Yes. They just came out with something really cool. I just heard about it yesterday. Hats. So they're going to have both baseball style hats and bucket hats that are made from dead stock. And you can get them personalized with the All Bodies on Bikes logo.
Heck yeah.
So that's really fun.
Cleverhood. We love Cleverhood.
We love Cleverhood. And a portion of those sales goes back to All Bodies on Bikes.
Nice.
Yeah. So if you're still listening, we love you. Thanks for sticking around.
Yeah.
And let us know who you want us to interview. We might take a break for a couple weeks as we get some interviews lined up and get all of our ducks in a row and let Marley and Maggie's mental health do what it needs to do in a better direction. but we would love to hear from you of who you want us to interview. So email us at podcast@allbodiesonbikes.com. And I hope you have a beautiful day.
I hope you have a beautiful day.
Thank you. I hope our listeners have a beautiful day.
I hope everybody has a beautiful day.
And with that, we're out.
This is an All Bodies on Bikes podcast powered by Feisty Media. The show is produced by Maggie and Marley and edited by the team at Feisty Media. Thanks for listening.